Welcome to Money for Life with Rocky Mountain Wealth Partners, Robert Stanlick. Advice to build and protect your wealth and your money for life. Money for Life is sponsored. The views expressed do not reflect those of KRDO staff and management. And now, here's your host, Robert Stanlick.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Money for Life show. My name is Robert Stanlick with Rocky Mountain Wealth Partners, the investment advisor portion of the Money for Life show team. The other members are Mary Thorne with Certainty Home Mortgage, as well as Michael Muir, the estate planning attorney. And we will hear from them in just a little while here on the show. If you'd like more information on anything that we do here, I want to invite you to visit the moneyforlifeshow.com, and you can see information and bio information on all of us as far as our own websites and bio information. But I wanted to start this show off a little bit different and record some of the stuff that I'm looking at on my computer screen so it's available in a podcast on KRDO. So you can go to the website, look under the podcast, the latest one up there, and hopefully I have about 10 minutes worth of information here for you to see, and would love to have your feedback on what you think of it. If you'd like to get in contact with us, the number is 400-6521, 400-6521. And I want to start off looking at the bullish percentage for several different markets. The main one that we use is the bullish percentage for the New York Stock Exchange. This has 1,994 stocks in it. Currently, we're trading a little bit above 58%, and that's telling us 58% of the stocks on the New York Stock Exchange are currently on a buy signal, meaning that the price has been moving up. It's kind of in an upward trend, and it's giving a positive indication of where we're at in the market as far as maybe looking at new positions and different things along those lines. So here's a chart of it. We see 58%. The lowest point that we have is A stands for August, so it had been a couple weeks in there that we got down to 18% of the stocks on a buy signal. Now, this can be used as a contrarian indicator. When things get this weak, it tells us things have kind of flushed out and it may be a time to enter into new positions and to get bullish. On the other side of the spectrum, we look back here around September of 2009, we hit a high of 82%. And this is basically saying everybody has in, they bought up all the stocks, or at least 82% of the stocks in the New York Stock Exchange, into a buy signal. And as a contrarian indicator, this might be a point to say, hey, I want to lighten up. But what I found interesting, since we're kind of in the summer doldrums here, let's go back and look at the eights on here, which is August. The first thing that we run into is here at August of 17. We came down to a low, bounced, and then September we started a new trend up into January of 2019. The next eight that we see, here's a September, here's August, and this would be 2015. We've got a correction. Downtrend going, actually gave a sell signal, went down to 24%, and then reversed up. And then just kind of scanning real quickly, August of 2013, we were at 72%, saw a reversal down to 56% before going back up. We take a look at August of 2012. Looks like we were moving up at that point and didn't reverse until about November. The previous Augusts that we've seen here, here's one for 2011, and man, this reversal started down from a point of about 56 and went clear down to 22. Here's one in 2010, kind of peaked out there for the summer at 56 with a short reversal and then turning back up. So this can be a key indicator, especially at this time of the year. One of the other things that we take a look at is this is a New York Stock Exchange, so this has got a lot of everything. We can take a look at the NASDAQ and the bullish percentage there that we see. As the screen's pulling up, we are at a level of 45.77. That's actually a reversal. And again, that happened on August 1st of this year. So we can see technology has been a lot weaker than the stocks on the New York Stock Exchange. One of the other components that we look at when we're dealing with technical analysis is the dynamic asset level investing. And this breaks it down asset classes. So the first thing it tells us is overall, do I want to look at something like the Dow Jones, which is dollar weighted, the S&P, which is cap weighted, or do I want an equal weighting? So cap weighted on the S&P is the SPY ETF, and they also have an equal weighted index. So one stock, one vote versus the largest stocks getting the biggest percentage of that index. And it's telling us the equal weighted right now is the strongest. When we're looking at asset classes, small cap growth and large cap growth lead the way. Sector-wise, technology and financial are still the strongest. And the technology would be something to look at because we just saw on the comp bullish percentage, we're starting to see a little weakness. And this runs through international, commodities, fixed income, cash, and currencies. So not only do you have the asset classes weighted, it's telling you which of these different groups. So domestic equity is the strongest rating, followed by international, then commodities and fixed income. It's a great tool to help for planning. It's a tool that I use an awful lot of the time just to kind of get the pulse of the market. And there's a lot of ways to look at it. When we're looking at the sector category, like I mentioned, you see technology is in the number one position, but we're starting to see a little weakness in the bullish percentage of that. And on the weakest side of it, you see real estate being flushed out down to a 34% level. And real estate has actually done pretty well the last couple weeks. So if you wanted to take a contrarian side, you can look at it and kind of play the right-hand side of the page. If you're going for relative strength and always being in the strongest, then you play the left side of the page here. Great tools that we work with. Hope you're getting some decent information, but maybe you'd like to come by and just visit one-on-one with some of the tools that we use here at Rocky Mountain Wealth Partners. We'd be happy to sit down and meet with you. You can visit the moneyforlifeshow.com website. That's moneyforlifeshow.com, or give us a call, 400-6521. 400-6521. And in the next couple of podcasts that are posted on the KRDO website, I hope to have up the tools that we use to help measure risk against different scenarios, so we can show you a little bit on that. It's a great tool to work with, and in conjunction with this strategy, it really helps define what sectors of the market, how much risk to reward are we taking, and it really helps identify and build a strong portfolio for your retirement. If you have questions for us, I have people ask me a lot of time, you know, geez, what about the dollar and what's going on? And if you take a look at this Dolly breakdown and you looked at fixed income, you can see that treasuries and long-term and short-term are at the bottom or the right-hand side of this graph. And, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of thought on this to see that, well, tariffs that look like they may go on are increasing the dollar, and we're putting a lot of pressure on the yield curves in trying to avoid an inverted curve, and that makes them very weak as far as a pure investment style. So again, visit the moneyforlifeshow.com website, moneyforlifeshow.com, and I would be happy to sit down with you and go over this. Robert Stanlick here, along with Mary Thorne, who is with
CertaintyHomeLoans.com.
Wanted to talk a little bit. I was just listening to a conversation you were having with a client on there. Tell me, what are the calls that you're getting right now? Is it people looking for new property, first-time home buyers? What's kind of the hot thing right now for the market?
The hot thing for the market today is almost anything, Robert. We have calls from people wanting to refinance their current residences to take cash out to improve or do repairs or remodeling, as they are thinking the location where they're at is great, and looking in the market to move would cost them more money and they wouldn't be able to afford it. So the market has so tightened by the lack of inventory that people are looking at their equity more so than they have before.
And with interest rates starting to creep up, are people freaking out that I'm going to be in this house forever now?
Some of them are getting to the point where they're saying, I am going to be in this house forever because I don't want to spend $300,000 on a house that my home is worth that right now. And going forward, I can't buy something better than where I am. But yeah. I could remodel it or repair it or add a bathroom or update the kitchen.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm in that boat. I look at this every day, and I go, where would I go? And if I was in the corporate world, I got to thinking the other day, what if I was asked to move? I mean, how big of a kink could that really mess your lifestyle up if you had to pack up and move into another hot real estate market?
Well, and our market being hot is really just low inventory and increasing prices. The interest rates have been, I'll say, going up little by little, a titch at a time. So this week we're up a titch. We're back up to about 4.5 on a conforming 30-year fixed. And last week we're at 4.375. And 6 months ago we were at 4. But we are still in a good low rate environment, but it is continually going up. Consistently going up, I guess I should say.
And it is something to watch. So if you're out there and you're going, geez, you know, maybe I would like to remodel, step something up somewhere in my existing property, Mary can help you out with a refinance loan or what else do you call them?
Well, we call them refinance. Okay. We call them either rate term or cash out. And sometimes we will find out that we may recommend the client to get an equity loan or an equity line at their bank instead of doing a refinance with us because we have closing costs.
Well, and it's also, I mean, we've had so many people refinance that most people have been in their house 10 years but have 27 years of house payments to go.
And we have seen a lot of people refinance. And actually, I'm seeing more refinances in the last 60 days, even though we're told we're in a non-refi market, because of people reevaluating where they're at. And we're a very conservative area. El Paso County, Colorado Springs is very conservative with their money. But we are still seeing first-time home buyers. We're still seeing the move-up buyer selling a house or retaining a property and renting it and going forward and buying a new home. We're seeing everything.
We've been talking off the air about down payment assistance and different programs like that. What do you have to offer for that first-time buyer?
So down payment assistance does not necessarily mean you have to be a first-time home buyer. In today's market, you can actually own a home and still get down payment assistance as long as that home you own is not your owner-occupied property. The down payment assistance in Colorado, we have CHAPA, which is Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. They loan statewide. They can give you either a 4% grant or a 5% second. And what that means is they take either 4 or 5% of the loan amount and either grant it to you with no strings attached or put it on as a second trust deed against the property. They're really great programs. Only downside is they're about a point higher in interest rate. But today, CHAPA's second trust deed is at 5.25. So for 5.25% interest rate, you can get 5% towards your down payment and closing costs on either a conventional or FHA loan.
I imagine there's a lot of people out there going, all right, how do I get this? If you'd like to get in touch with Mary, you can visit our website, moneyforlifeshow.com, moneyforlifeshow.com, and all of Mary's contact information is on there. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 400-6521, 400-6521, and we'll be happy to get back with you on that. What other things does a first-time buyer or somebody wanting to trade up, what do they need to be looking for? You were talking to somebody about, geez, your insurance quote seems very high. Here's a couple places to go.
For qualifying and looking at buying up, it's always good to get pre-qualified so you really know where you're sitting in today's market. I was just on the phone with someone that their flood insurance quote actually seemed very high. It was over $3,200 a year. And different agencies as in different, even mortgage companies or banks have different rates they charge. So from an insurance company standpoint, we always recommend that you get a few offers, call a couple companies, call a couple brokers, and at least get more than one quote, just as you would want to do from a mortgage company. You'll want to make sure that the quote for interest rate and fees is comparable, and that you really do compare the whole transaction.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there being advertised, no closing costs, no this, no that. Aren't they basically just wrapping it into the interest rate?
Yes. If you have a company that says they have no closing costs, you have to remember you never get something for nothing. And the closing costs would be increasing the rate. So, for instance, today we may be at 4.5 with a 1% origination fee. In comparison, we could be at 4.75 with zero costs. But that zero cost means there's just not an origination fee for your interest rate. You will still have title closing costs, you'd still have the down payment, and you'd still have the other required closing costs for reserves, insurance for a year, and your taxes.
Yeah, I mean, here's a little dirty secret when it comes to buying cars. If you go to a car lot and they say, you tell them you want to use XYZ bank or credit union, oh, we use them. Well, they're typically going to mark it up 0.25% to 0.5%. And sometimes they give the dealership a better rate than the consumer would going in, so it nets out to the same. But money is being made when they're saying that there's no closing cost or anything in there as well. So it is worth checking out and talking. And if, Mary would be happy to talk to you if you're in the process, just to double check to make sure that you're okay. Again, 400-6521, if you'd like to talk to her about that. We were talking about my stepson and his wife. They were looking at buying a place that was going to go into foreclosure. The appraisal came in really stupid. And I don't know whether there was something intentional, but is there still problems with appraisals like there was in 2010 and 11 with everything just coming in ridiculously low?
Appraisals and appraisers have been under the same scrutiny and government legislation and requirements that mortgage companies came under in the last 10 years, as well as financial planners, accountants, and anybody else that's really dealing with the consumer with money. So from an appraisal standpoint, we haven't seen a lot of poor appraisals because the appraisal industry is now being held to a higher standard of education and ethics, licensing, and they're also looked at every day by the CFPB, which lenders are also, from the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, who wants to make sure the consumer is getting a good deal. Sometimes they go a little overboard, and rightfully so, but the paperwork involved to document compliance with all the new laws is what is mainly hurting the appraisal industry.
Hmm. Yeah, and that seems to take a lot longer.
A lot of good appraisers have gotten out of the industry because they are required to do more for less.
Hmm. All right. Well, if you would like to talk to Mary, you can visit the moneyforlifeshow.com website. That's money, F-O-R, lifeshow.com, moneyforlifeshow.com. Or give us a call, 400-6521, 400-6521.
My name is Robert Stanlick, along with estate planning attorney Mike Muir. And if you have a question for Mike, a couple ways you can get a hold of us. You can call and leave your question on the voicemail at 400-6521, 400-6521, or you can email us at info@rm, like Rocky Mountain, rmwealthpartners.com. That's rmwealthpartners.com, and we'll take your questions and answer it on a future show. So two ways to get a hold of us, and feel free to do that, 400-6521, and we will be in contact with you, get your question, or if you'd like to set up with time for Mike to review your estate plan, your will, if you have a special situation with a special needs, we can help you with that. A while back, we were talking about charitable trust and charitable giving. And there's a lot of different ways to go about this program. But give us a rundown or kind of the Reader's Digest version of doing charitable trust.
Well, charitable trust really comes into play when you have a highly appreciated asset and you're fearful of selling that asset and having that capital gain. So let's say you and your spouse bought a rental property, you know, 20 years ago for $100,000, and now it's worth $500,000. So you have potentially, if you were to sell it, a $400,000 capital gain, which at a 20% capital gain rate and 4.63 for the state of Colorado, I mean, you're looking at about a $100,000 tax bill. So you're thinking, gosh, I can't sell that because I'm going to have to pay the taxes, and then I'll have to live on the revenue created by that lesser amount of money rather than just getting the rentals. But one of the options that the federal government allows is that you give a portion of that property or capital gain basically to a charity, and in exchange for that, the government basically said, we won't charge you any capital gains taxes. So you can take that rental property, put it inside the charitable remainder trust, sell it, pay zero in capital gains, and as long as you leave at least 10% to the charity, you not only don't have to pay capital gains, but you also get an income tax deduction for the value of that gift.
Can you take that deduction in the first year or spread it out over five?
So you can take it in the first year, but depending on the rules and what your income tax bracket is, you can spread it out for up to 5 years. The other thing that's important with the charitable remainder trust is that with the money that's inside that trust, with that $500,000 that's now in there, because you didn't have to pay $100,000 of it to the government as capital gains tax, you can invest that money and you actually take a stream of income out of that trust. And like I said, you can take 90% of that out of the trust in the form of income that you and your spouse take over your lifetime, and then the remainder goes to the charity.
So, to quote the great movie The Super with Joe Pesci, so it's a little cold in there, and he's got all these properties that have been depreciated like crazy. You can put them in there, and let's just use your example of $500,000. So now you got to keep $50,000 designated to the charity, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so now you've got $450,000, and let's say you're making 5%, that's called $21,000 a year. You can take that, and that money is tax-free?
Exactly. So instead of you getting rental income, you're now getting a stream of income without having to change carpets and paint walls every time a tenant moves out.
And keep racking up depreciation like crazy.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is a great tool to help with depreciation. If you own fourplexes or duplexes or apartment buildings, any type of rentals that you've got a lot of depreciation in and want to get out of the landlord business, this is a great way to go about doing it. If you'd like to talk to Mike about it, maybe explain your specific situation, give us a call at 400-6521. 400-6521, and just say, hey, I'd like to talk with Mike about possibly doing a charitable trust or reviewing my estate, whatever the case may be. So now that it's in there, you've collected this stream of income for a number of years, and both husband and wife dies. Can that income continue to the kids?
Well, it can. You can stretch it out as long as you'd like. It just changes the actual number that comes out. So there's actuarial tables that the federal government allows us to use to perform that calculation.
And if you want to not to disinherit your kids, you can take part of that stream of income and buy life insurance with it that gives complete liquidity when you die that would replace the rental properties or whatever the case may be, and the kids don't have to go through trying to clean stuff up, get it on the market, try and sell it, and those type of things.
Exactly. So you can sell it at a peak without having to sell it in an emergency situation, which would be the time of death, because I don't know if the market's going to be up at that moment or down or the same. But by putting it inside of a CRT and selling it when the time is right, you have that full amount of money to use to leverage, and I often call it supercharging the legacy, because you can take the money that you saved and basically put it into a life insurance policy and give your kids far more money than you would have otherwise been able to do.
And just to throw in a little advertisement, we do have life insurance products that work perfect with this, but they also have a feature that if you need long-term care or home health care or something like this, they have a chronic illness rider that will allow you to use up to 75% of your death benefit to cover those health expenses that you have. It's a great product, and the thing that I like about it is there's no cost on the chronic illness rider until it actually kicks in, and then there's an internal cost, but you still can pull 75% of that death benefit out, and again, that would be tax-free to cover home health care, somebody coming in to take care of you, if you need to go into a nursing home, whatever the case may be. It's a great alternative to long-term care and works in great with the type of planning that Mike does with this. So again, if you have any questions on anything that we're talking about, give us a call at 400-6521, 400-6521, or email us at info@RM, like Rocky Mountain, wealthpartners.com. And Mike, there's a ton of ways to structure a charitable remainder trust. You can pony up with a charitable remainder trust fund. You can set your own up.
Yeah,
there's
a
lot of
flexibility. You can do a donor advised fund. You can do all kinds of things. And a lot of people have a lot of fun with this because they've always thought we're going to leave everything to the kids. Well, now we're leaving sometimes three or five times as much to the kids, but we still get to play around with 10% extra money that we're leaving to a charity. So now you can look at maybe, you know, your church is putting on an additional wing or maybe a daycare center, and you can be part of that. Or your school is thinking about adding, you know, to the business school or to, you know, the nursing program or things, and you can really make a difference. And it's fun making those phone calls and getting involved in these communities and, you know, being able to leave something in addition to the legacy to your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do have an impact, and you really can spend the money twice with the proper planning in this. So if you've got questions, a lot of people, when they hear charitable remainder trust, think they have to give everything away and lose control. Maybe, hopefully, this will shine some light on it, and you'll look at it a little bit different and come in and ask some questions. 400-6521, 400-6521, and just say that you'd like to talk to myself or Mike about the insurance, about trust, about planning, whatever the case may be. One more time with the phone number, 400-6521, 400-6521, and we'll talk more about this in future shows, but if you are charitably inclined and you do have some highly appreciated assets, this is a great thing to sit down and talk to Mike with.
The opinions voiced in this radio show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific investment advice or recommendations. Individuals should always consult their own tax or financial advisor regarding their specific financial situation before acting on any information provided. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Genos Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.